Welcome to Rialaron International Ministries Incorporated with Anne Elizabeth, where real people meet a real God.
Welcome to Rialaron. I'm so glad that you have joined us once again for our lesson on wisdom. Wisdom is the principal thing. That should be on top of our bucket list, wisdom. And it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But as we have been studying and learning throughout these different courses, we know that the devil is the thief. And we know that the devil has come to the church, the people of God, the saints of God, and has stolen from them the word of God. We know that the devil has tainted different Bible versions and left out things and watered down things. We know that we need to go back to the original English, King James Version, straight from the Hebrew language, Old Testament, straight from the Greek language, New Testament. We know that the devil has stolen this from the church and the reading of the word from the church, because he comes to steal, John 10:10, to kill and to destroy. And that's how he destroyed me. He took the Bible from my life, from me reading the entire counsel of God from Genesis 1 to the end of Revelation. Therefore, I was void of truth. I was destitute of wisdom. I didn't read the word of God and then fear God, meaning, oh my goodness, if I do this, this is what's going to happen to me, and believe it. Therefore, I was void of all this until I went into hell in 2001 by the hand of Almighty God. And he put me down there to bring me to truth. And I was very fortunate. I got a second chance on this planet. But God wants to bring truth back to his people, back to the body of Christ, back to the church in its fullness. And he wants the body of Christ to read the Bible and believe every word and to fear him and to understand life and to keep in the safe, blessed zone with him through their journey into eternal life in heaven. Okay? But we know that there are the unwise amongst us. You know, I'm surrounded by people that do not care about God until they their finances go down or until their health deteriorates. I know that many have mocked God and said, oh, you're trying to save the world. Look at this. She's trying to save the world, but a disease hit their body and they got the death sentence. And the first place they looked was up at God. So no matter what man walks to the earth, or woman walks to the earth, or child, they're going to face death. And they're going to want to look up to God and make sure they're not wearing their sins when they leave earth. You want to make sure that you're wearing the blood of Jesus that's remitted your sins. And you want to make sure that your works here, your deeds, your activities have been righteous according to what he's written in the word, because you took time to read it and you read it on a daily basis. See, that's wisdom. But we know we're going to have the unwise amongst us. And many of them are very famous. They're very wealthy. They're very beautiful people. They have everything money can buy. But they're going to depart the earth, for it is a hotel. It's a check-in, check-out situation. And they're going to face God. And I hope they're not destitute before the Son of God and wearing their sins, because they left their huge closet with all of their fur coats. They left all of the things they made. They left all of their charities they gave to the wells and to animals and to whatever. Okay. And even into victims of tornadoes and hurricanes and disasters. But they never took care of their own disaster, which were the sins that they have committed on the earth. For we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All of us have sinned. It's just part of life. We've all broken God's Ten Commandments. There's not one of us that has never told a lie. There's not one of us that's never cheated. Maybe you've stolen or committed adultery. If you've looked at someone and thought about sex with them or wanted to see them naked, that's a sin. Your thoughts are sinful. And so God made a way for us to be reconciled to him by the blood of Jesus. And that removes our sins. And then we eat the bread of life, the word of God, and it cleanses us. And it teaches us a new life. And we perfect holiness and purity underneath the throne all the way into glory. This is the life that all humanity needs to come to reality, to grips with, and deal with it. Because nobody's staying. But we do know that the wise will be here, and we know that the fool will be here, as the Bible clearly tells us in Matthew 25. There's the foolish Christian, and then there's the wise Christian, and then there's the fool in the world that says there is no God. You know, I have such an issue with that. How could anybody intelligently look at creation and say there is no God when all man comes in and leaves, and everyone does, nobody gets around the grave. There's not one man or one woman alive here past the age of 150. Where are they? Where are they? It's the stop sign for us to get, turn the lights on in our home and make sure that we check into truth, right? Because no matter how many movies you've made, and no matter how many men you've slept with in Hollywood, no matter how good your clothing lines are going, no matter how big your breast is, and no matter how many Instagram likes you get, you're still going to die and face God. And I hope that when you die and face God, he sees your sins remitted for his son. You came to him and said, God, forgive me. And he was able to wash your sins away from you with his blood. And he sees that you picked up his book and read it, and he was able to wash you, so you will have a part with him in heaven. Because he told Peter, if I don't wash you, you will have no part with me. You will have no part. He will say, depart from me. And he will throw you into everlasting fire, where you will weep and gnash your teeth forever. And God doesn't want this to happen. And he's been telling the same message through all the generations of time, all the generations of time, through all the different preachers and ministers and evangelists and pastors and apostles. And all the generations of time, when I saw God, I saw the generations in his face, generation after generation after generation. He was looking at me and he says, I'm going to make you a preacher. And he did. And a preacher reveals truth so that you make it. It's the only reason for this, the seat of a preacher is for your benefit, for you to make it in life and for you to make it in eternity. That is the reason for a preacher, for God's concern for you, because God doesn't want to lose you. John 6:39, Jesus says, I pray I do not lose one. He doesn't want anybody lost. But if he doesn't tell you to stop and remove your sins with his blood and pick up his book, which he is the word of God, and to wash every day as you wash your hair, you'll never enter into eternal life. So let's answer the Son of God's prayer today and do what he's told us to do. Amen. So we don't want to let go of the word of God, because that's the slow fade. You know, the devil will, he will always want to take the word from the Christian, because if he can get the word from the Christian, he's got their mind. And then if he's got their mind, he can start wrapping them back into sinful activities. And if the Christian wanders off from the way of life and says, God, I don't have time for your word, and they start going this way, they think they're all filled up. They're all filled up. It's amazing what I have seen as far as even ministers of the gospel that have. I saw one in particular, very nice, astute looking guy, very much full of the word of God. God spent years preparing him for his place as a preacher, because God has to spend years preparing a person so that when he puts them out and the devil tries to take him out or the people try to take him out, that he stands under God and he's solid. Do you see? He's able to withstand the pressures, because there's a lot of pressures for the preacher. Okay. because the devil wants to take him out, and the tares and want to take them out. And the devil will work overtime trying to take out the preacher. It's just life. But the preacher's life is hidden in Christ with God, and so they're going to make it. But the thing is, if they stay in the Word. But this preacher, he married a girl that wasn't full of the Word of God. She says she was a Christian, and she was a beautiful girl, and he was seduced almost like Samson with his Delilah. And that Delilah that he married, she was a Christian by name, but not by action. See, we can say a lot with our mouth, but it's what we do that counts, right? That's what Jesus said. He said, who are my mother, my father, my brothers, my sisters? He said, those that do the will of God. That's the activities that God wants us to do. Okay, as found in the Bible. But this girl, she was a seduction. And the devil threw that lure in, that fishing boat, and he lured this young man that was so precious and full of the Holy Spirit. And little by little, he left the Word. Little by little, he left the life. Little by little, he went into sin. Little by little, he lost everything, including his appearance, his health, his finances. It totally destroyed his life. Because the wages of sin is death. And the devil came and he threw that lure and he lured this preacher in by this woman with seduction. Okay? And destroyed him. Just as it says in John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. If you're out there tonight and that's you, just come back to God and say, God, I'm sorry for leaving the path. I'm sorry for leaving the Word. I'm sorry for going off into the world and leaving the life I know I'm to keep and have in Christ down the straight and narrow path, full of joy, covenants of promise, commonwealth of Israel. But nonetheless, it is straight and it is narrow. And Lord, I ask you to remove my sins by your blood, and I ask you to wash me clean as I pick up this Word of God and I recommit my life to you tonight, Lord, because I don't want to be cast by you into the eternal abyss. In Jesus' name, I don't. And start afresh with God today. Welcome back. So we don't want to let go. But if we have, we want to come home. And we want to come home now. Because the devil is a seducer. He is a seducer to get us to neglect reading the Word of God. I've seen it over and over. I've seen it in some of my friends that I had. And one day they fear the Lord, and the next day they're drinking champagne. One day they're serving the Lord, next day they're having an affair. One day they honor the Lord, knowing he means what he says, and the next day they have a very well-to-do job where they're making big bucks and they have left the straight and narrow path. And the next thing you know, now their health is gone. Now their finance is gone. Now their mind is gone and their marriage is frayed. But the good news about Jesus is if you're still breathing and you're still here, come back today. Come back today. And just say, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me. I went down the wide road with destruction. And I left the narrow road with you. Because they looked like they had so much more fun on the wide road to destruction. Come back to God tonight. Choose life. 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning at verse 8, it tells us the devil roams around seeking whom he may devour. We need to come back to the grips of what's true in the Bible, is factual on the earth. I've seen the devil, and the devil told me to my face, I'm waiting for you to walk away from the Lord. Because he has sent different lures to try to seduce me and to try to knock me off my life with Christ. It's just what happens here. But what we do is we keep that life in Christ, whether we feel like it or don't feel like it, whether we're crying because God did something wonderful for us, or we're angry with God because it's been years and we're still praying and waiting for something. Okay? Whatever the case, don't lose intelligence. Don't let go of life. Because God is a covenant-keeping God. What God has promised, God will fulfill His way, His time. Okay? We don't take the throne of God and sit on it and rule God. We stay underneath the throne of God and say, you know what is best. And I don't understand what's going on in my life, but I know you do. Romans 8:28, you will work all things out for good to those who love you. So no matter what's happening in your life, if you just hold on to God and continue to love God by respecting and obeying Him and apologizing, okay, and keeping the life, He will work whatever's happened to you out for your good. It's like, how can God do this? There's 8 billion of us. How can He know each little thing that's wrong? Because He's God. He created you. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. He made every piece of you, and He made every piece of you on purpose. He made you to be male. He made you to be female, and that's exactly what He wants you to be. Don't ever question your sexuality or your gender-based. There should be no confusion in what you are. Just look down at your body part. That's who you are. That's who God made you to be, and stick with it. Don't let the devil lie to you and tell you that you're not supposed to be what God made you to be, okay? That's the devil. We know that we continue to wear the full armor of God on, and we keep our wisdom, and the word of God is very important for the armor. We keep the helmet of salvation. We keep our mind saturated in the word of God, and anything that comes in our mind against the word of God, we cast down every imagination and everything that sets itself and exalts itself above the throne of God, above the word of God. We cast it aside. We resist evil. Okay? We have around our waist truth, and we have that belt firmly tight. We know truth because we read it on a daily basis. And our sword is, it is written, devil, and it will never change. So whatever needs to be changed in your life, find the promise of it in Scripture, and that's what will be. It may not look like it now, but it will be later, for God is not a man that He should lie, or the Son of God that He should repent. Has He promised, and will He not fulfill it? Numbers 23:19. So we need to have the whole armor of God on as we walk to victory, as John 8:31 tells us. Then Jesus said to the Jews which believed on Him, if you continue in My word, then you are My disciples. If you continue in My word. So I just want to talk to the church for a minute. How many of you out there read the Word of God on a daily basis? We are to continue in His Word. You may say, but I go to church. I don't have to read the Word. I listen to the preacher. Do you want to go to hell as I did and have God ask you while you are in the depths of hell underneath the earth? Who is your favorite preacher? It was a very terrifying act, as I'm sure that Jonah was alarmed, as I was, as he sat in the well. And then we know that he went into hell, and the bars were wrapped around him. As when I landed in hell, I was behind bars, and this bat flew around my head. And Jesus said, the spirits that deceived Eve live here. My heart was pumping, pumping, pumping. I was terrorized. But we know, Romans 11:22, we know the goodness of God. Heaven, I got to see the goodness of God. It's beautiful. You don't want to miss it. And I got to see the severity of God. Eternal fire. You don't want to miss. You want to miss that. Okay? And in order to enter into heaven, we must continue in the Word of God. Then you are My disciples. When a disciple means a student, and God has told us to study the Word of God, okay, rightfully dividing the Word of truth, knowing good, knowing evil, knowing how to act on everything there is pertaining to life and godliness. So reading the Word of God is key to your safety, and you need to buy a Bible and not just take it from the preachers, okay? God wants you as a human. No matter if you're a banker, a teacher, a lawyer, a baker, a chef, a restaurant owner, a gas attendant, whatever you are, a government worker, He wants you to own a Bible, and He wants to see you reading it every day. Okay? We as the nation of America need to come back and read our Bibles every day and sit with God. Okay, that's the first key to healing our land. God said in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, seek his word, read his word, and then turn from their wickedness, I will heal the land. We want our land healed as Christians, but we don't do what God has asked us to do. Bathe daily in the word of God. Okay? And turn from our sins as his people. We know that God rewards them that fear him, meaning God rewards the person that reads the word and believes the word. Okay? I mean, we would all be thieves if we didn't believe that thieves do not inherit eternal life. You know, and I think about all the thieves in the church. In Malachi chapter 3, God said, he said, you're all cursed with a curse because you steal my tithes and my offerings. God commands his people, Christians, to give 10% of their income to the gospel movers, the ministers, okay, that have storehouses. A storehouse is a place that's free and that's full and open 24 hours a day, feeding the nation's spiritual intelligence and helping the poor and doing good works, okay? That's a storehouse. Not a church that's open twice a week and that's all they do is take your money and say, give you a sermon. That's not a storehouse. Not in God's eyes, okay? But people are cursed because they don't give that 10%. And then he said, and also offerings. We are to give offerings above the 10%. The 10% is God's. And then we're to go and give offerings on top of that. Okay? Or you're a thief in God's eyes, the one on the throne, and you will be judged accordingly. And it says, do not steal. Number 8 is one of the 10 commandments. Check it out. Exodus 20. So we don't want to be cursed by God. We want to be rewarded. And it says, if you bring all the tithes and offerings into the storehouse, the place where it is full of spiritual food for people and teaching them the word of God and helping their fellow man, then God will bless and reward your life. And he will open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you won't have room enough to receive. How many of you out there would like to be blessed by God tonight? How many? How many are in financial ruin because you're not obeying God in your tithes and offerings? Well, that's easy. All you have to do right now is say, God, I'm sorry, and begin to do what's right. Begin to tithe. Begin to send offerings. Rialaron is a great storehouse. Check it out. It's got all kind of spiritual food. 24 hours it's open, reaching internationally. And we have foreign missions, and we have outreaches, all kind of wonderful things. And it's a great storehouse to give to. 10% of your income. I say 10% off the gross, not the net pay, right? Because God comes before the government, okay? And you say, well, how am I going to make ends meet if I give God 10% and offerings? Believe me, God will make a way where there is no way. To those who obey, there is a way, God's way, okay? To those who don't obey and are fearful and unbelieving, it will not go good for you. So if you want to be rewarded by God, you have to follow God's instructions as given in the word of God. Proverbs 14:26. And the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. You know, confident people, they don't walk around with their head down and they're not shaking and nervous all the time because they know life and they do according to what God has told them to. Okay? They may walk through fires where it would burn up a normal person, but because of their obedience to God, they're strong knowing that God will see them to the other side of the burning inferno. Amen? So there's nothing to fear. You know, if we fear God, we will fear nothing else. If we don't fear God, we will fear everything else. So it's up to you. Do you want to fear God and fear nothing else? Or do you want to fear everything and not God? Do you see? And you will understand God and fear God when you read the Word of God. God is very loving and kind. But don't mistake that for his activities, that he works out of his word according to justice and righteousness. And he does not respect a person based on who their father or mother or brother or sister were or what they did 25 years ago. What does your now say? Okay, what are you doing now is what's important to God. What you did yesterday is yesterday, it's gone. But what are you going to continue to do? That's what's important. If you need to repent, get that in line and go on and continue down the only sane road to travel in life, which is the fear of the Lord and the enjoyment of the Lord. But I don't enjoy God so much that I feel like I can skip out and steal from God. And that's a ministry also. You know, Numbers 18, it talks about the tithes and the offerings that the ministers have to give out of what they get. When you're in ministry, you tithe just like anybody else. Nobody's exempt from tithing, whether they are a pastor or an evangelist like myself. You know, pastors are housed in churches and preach. Evangelists are sent and they preach all over the place. Okay, it's just where God has called you to work in His kingdom. It's His work, His way, His place. But nobody's exempt. The banker, the cook, the preacher, the pastor, the evangelist, the apostle, the prophet. No one is exempt from paying tithes and offerings. And nobody. And Numbers 18 is very clear to the minister and the pastor and the preachers, the ministry workers. We are to tithe and give offerings to other places that are doing ministry as God has commanded. So when we follow God, we will follow life and receive great, great rewards. Good night.
Rialaron International Ministries Incorporated appreciates all of its faithful covenant partners and wishes each and every one of you a beautiful life with Jesus. Please visit Rialaron today at www.rialaron.org.